Welcome to some more great Bible preaching from the pulpit of Capital City Baptist Church in the heart of Austin, Texas. Our prayer is that your relationship with Christ is strengthened and that you are blessed by the time you spend in the Word of God with us today.
Proverbs chapter 8, starting at verse 6. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. In the opening of my lips shall be right things. I wonder what the topic would be tonight after reading a verse like that. For my mouth shall speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination of my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. How many problems would be solved? How many friendships would be restored? How many marriages would be helped with this simple truth? All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing forward or perverse in them. They're all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. I want to preach on the subject, the tongue of the wise. I believe that a wise person is known by his speech, by his mouth, by the things that come out of his mouth. What you say is a revelation of you. What you say is a revelation of your heart. If you're bitter, you will spew bitterness. If you're frustrated, you will spew frustration. If you are evil, you'll spew wickedness. And a good man, out of the goodness of his heart, will speak good things. An evil man, out of the wickedness of his heart, will speak evil things. When you speak, people will immediately identify what kind of person you are, what kind of character you have. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12 and keep a finger there in Proverbs, because most of our reading tonight will be done in Proverbs. But go with me to Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. How many of you have ever heard someone say, oops, I didn't mean that? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. So if that which cometh out of your mouth is evil, what's the fountain? The heart is the issue. The heart is evil, so the mouth will speak evil things. Verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I don't even think I have to add anything to that scripture reading because it's so clear, so plain, and so simple. What we say is the revelation of what we're thinking and what's in our heart. Now, I want to say a few things this evening about the tongue of the wise man. Number one, go with me back to Proverbs chapter 10. We'll read verse 19, Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Number one, a wise man is slow to speak. A wise man is quick to hear, slow to speak. Understanding that engaging the mouth before engaging the mind can be extremely harmful. It's amazing how much a 5, 6, 8, or 10-year-old speaks. There's not much wisdom in any of those words, any of that conversation. And it's amazing to watch someone that is 50, 55, or 60 sit at a table and listen to all the conversation that's going on and say absolutely nothing. You observe and you say, there's a wise man. He's refraining his lips. He's holding his tongue. He's understanding the importance of listening rather than speaking. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Go with me to chapter 17. Proverbs 17, verse 28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. Young people, this is a very important principle to learn. The best way to be thought of as being a wise person is simply by closing your mouth and fooling those around you. Whatever you say is not going to help your cause or your reputation. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. How simple, how clear, how plain. Go with me to chapter 29. When you are slow to speak, that shows a lot of self-control. That means you're slow to react. You know what? That's not natural. Our natural man is quick to react, and usually the first reaction is an improper reaction. I learned a long time ago there are a lot of things that I just sleep on. There are some texts that I don't respond to for 24 or 48 hours. You say, Pastor, why is that? I want to respond properly. I don't ever want to respond in the flesh. I don't want to respond in a carnal way. I'm your pastor. I'm supposed to be an example. I'm supposed to watch my testimony. I'm supposed to watch my words. It's a good thing to be very slow to speak and slow to react. Proverbs 29, 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. The words of Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. Under the influence and direction of the Holy Spirit said, you see him that is hasty in his words, that fool has more hope than that man that can't refrain his lips. Now, when we're talking about refraining our lips, that's in a lot of different areas of life, because every day we will be tempted to say something that we shouldn't say. Now, it looks even more foolish when a person is 35, 40, 45, or 50 or older. When that person cannot control their lips, it looks worse. We expect that out of a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old, or especially a 5-year-old, but not someone who has 35 or 40 years of life under their belt. And a wise man will be slow to speak, and that means slow to share information. Let me just be very plain and simple tonight when it comes to the tongue. Years ago, probably 20 years ago, in my youth and youthful zeal and ignorance, I remember preaching a message here, and I started that message, maybe a few of you were members at that time, I started that message by walking down the aisle and saying, this night, tonight, I'm going to identify the most troublesome member of this church. Some of you were here. You still remember. And it got quiet. And I said, I'm going to reveal that member. It's caused more trouble for my dad and for the glory of God. And I'm sick and I'm tired and I'm fed up. And I said it for about 5 minutes. This place got so quiet, no one moved. And I would walk by a pew and everyone in that pew would get stiff, waiting for me to reveal the worst member of this church. And then I walked back up to the platform. I said, that member's name is the tongue. And everybody breathed a sigh of relief. Now, I wouldn't recommend you do that. Dad did not give me a special offering after I preached that message. But the tongue is a major problem. And when God refers to someone who doesn't control their tongue, all the terminology is negative. Talebearer, slander, evil speaker. We refer to them, in this day and age, as a gossip. God referred to them as a busybody. Someone that simply can't help themselves, they've always got to make a comment, always got to dig, always got to share information. I call them informants. You know, you ought to steer clear of those kind of people. People that think they know, but don't know anything about what they think they know. Isn't it amazing to watch people just hyperactive, ready to spread the little bit of knowledge that they have? Twisted already because it went through 3 different phone conversations by the time it got to them, but they are so ready and anxious. The Bible says something about that kind of behavior. Go with me to chapter 11 of Proverbs. Once again, none of it has a good connotation. It's actually condemned in Scripture. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. A talebearer. Now, is that something good or bad? Bad. Is that something that is encouraged in Scripture or condemned? A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You know who you should trust? Someone that doesn't say anything. You know, there are people you know, Brother Sutton has no information on anyone, anytime, anywhere. I trust that man. You know how much information Brother Tony has? If you tell him anything, it'd probably be the first piece of information he's actually heard. If you're the one hearing the information, if you're the one receiving the calls, if you're the one eating the dinner and collecting that garbage, that classifies you as a trash can. Congratulations, Dr. Dumpster. Everyone with filth in their mouth, rot in their heart, knife in their lips, knows where they can go. I wouldn't be proud. There are people that are actually proud. I'm everyone's counselor. No, you're everyone's dumpster. I don't even let you dump on me, and I'm the pastor. I don't know how many times a week I stop people 2 minutes into the conversation and say, wait a minute. I don't need details. Tell me the problem. Let's deal with the root issue and move forward. Don't dump your details on me. I only have so many brain cells to work with. Don't use up the free ones with useless information. Amen? Chapter 12, verse 23. Proverbs 12, 23. A prudent man. Now, this is the opposite of a talebearer, a fool. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools, what happens? They proclaim foolishness. Chapter 15, verse 2. Should you trust someone running around with information, negative information? Did you know someone doing that always has an agenda? How wise would it be to listen to someone who calls themselves your friend, who's just ready and willing and impatient and thanking God for modern technology so they can throw that filth on your mind, heart, and soul? I don't know if I'd classify that as friendship. Did you know the friends I have? I don't have a single friend, not a single friend on this planet that's ever come and tried to throw filth on my plate. Even in dealing with matters, you deal with the least amount of information possible. Because too much information only hurts those that hear it. The average person isn't even strong enough spiritually to handle information. Thank God for ignorance. Amen? What a pleasure in life. Chapter 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of what? What's God called this person? What's a fool do? Poureth out foolishness. Chapter 20, verse 19. Proverbs 20, 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. So if someone wants to come to you giving you new information that's called a secret, what does God call that person? Talebearer. Therefore, what is the command? Meddle not with him. Why? It's only going to hurt you and prejudice your thoughts. Because that person, look what it says in Proverbs 26, comes with the agenda. That agenda, listen, someone that wants to help you is not going to dump garbage on you. That doesn't strengthen you. Proverbs 26, verse 22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. Now, what is the agenda of a talebearer? Of a gossip? A busybody? A slander? What is their agenda? To wound. They go down to the innermost part of the belly. How many of you ever got with someone, they were a talebearer, after 15 minutes in your belly, you were wounded? Accidentally or on purpose, we've all been there. And you get that gut-wrenching feeling. I just sat at the wrong table with the wrong person, answered the wrong call from the wrong friend in parentheses, and I just got wounded. Now, how quickly does that wound heal? Takes seconds to develop, and sometimes you never get over it. Sometimes whatever information or misinformation they gave you that wounded you has so prejudiced your thinking that now you can never look at that person again with respect. It's called an agenda. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So what is the agenda of a talebearer? To kindle what? Are those the kind of friends you want to have? Someone that's constantly kindling strife? My wife, she doesn't like being used in illustrations, but the Bible makes her a good example of this, so I'm going to have to use her. We were on vacation. We were staying at a place with fire. And our back porch was covered with wood. Folks, we're talking about summer, but there was a fireplace. She would wake up, light that fire, open the doors, and burn wood all day long. And then at night, there was a fireplace in our room. About 7 o'clock, she would light the fireplace in our room and have two fires going at the same time. I said, babe, you burnt through a cord of wood on the back porch. She said, it says right here in the book that if you run out of wood, you can go down to the office and ask for more. I said, that book was written for skiers in December, not tourists in June. One night at 9:30, all her fire starting material had gone out. We'd left, her fire had gone out. She is playing for 20 minutes trying. It had rained, the wood was wet, she was trying to get her fire started. I redressed, drove 15 miles down the road, got fire starter, drove back so she could start a fire with it 75 degrees out. And I did it all in the spirit. And I looked at her and said, woman, you are nuts. Now, God uses that as an example of a talebearer. Someone that can't help but constantly light fires. James 3 says the tongue is what? A fire. And someone that's constantly revealing secrets is just, they can't help but light a fire here and light a fire there and light a fire over here. And everywhere I go, I gotta light a fire. Verse 22, the words of the talebearer are as wounds that go down to the innermost part of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. Now let's look at the heart of this man that's constantly starting fires. 25, when he speaketh fair, believe it not, for there are what? I can't hear you. There are seven abominations in his heart. His mouth is a revelation of his heart. You don't want to find yourself in that category. If you're a talebearer, if you're a slanderer, if you're some of the wounds, you know what you need to do? Tonight, you don't even have to walk the aisle. Your tongue is long enough to stay seated and just lay it down. Roll it out. Put it on the altar from the back pew. Amen? But you need to get right and say, I'm not going to use my tongue as a negative, hurtful, hateful influence and call that Christianity. Look what it said in chapter 25, verse 18. What's the intention? To hurt, to wound. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor. Look at the three things that he's referred to in Scripture. He's a maul, a sword, and a sharp arrow. You ever been hit by any of those things? Wouldn't you hate to be referred to by God as a maul, a sword, and a sharp arrow? All three of those things have as a purpose destruction Look what it says in chapter 18, verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down to the innermost parts of the belly. Now, someone that is a talebearer, a gossip, a busybody, a slanderer, they're not interested in truth. The point's not getting truth. The point is getting enough information to damage someone else. Look what it says in chapter 16, verse 27. What is their agenda? What is their purpose? An ungodly man, here's what God calls him, ungodly. An ungodly man diggeth up evil. What's a godly man do? Love covereth a multitude of sins. An ungodly man's going to go digging around, dig up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A forward man soweth strife, and a whisper separateth chief friends. Goes me back to chapter 26. Here's Kim's life verse. Verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Now here's the pleasant thing in life. Where there is no talebearer, what happens? The strife ceaseth. So, should any Christian be involved in this kind of behavior? Should any Christian find himself in the category of a talebearer, gossip, slander, or busybody? Now, how are those things even possible? If you simply, quietly, lovingly, carefully, in a Christ-like manner, close your mouth and say, I'm not participating in that kind of behavior. You know what? It'll save you money and minutes on your cell phone. Best cell phone plan ever. Be a Christian. Proverbs 6, 19. Let's see what God thinks about all this, because God not only refers to it as a talebearer, busybody, slander, but also a sower of discord. And in Proverbs 6, 19, mentioning six things that God hates, seven that are an abomination. Verse 19, he says, a false witness speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. So God said, if I'm just going to do a list of seven things, top seven list of things I despise, what's top seven? Actually, four out of the seven have to do with the tongue causing problems, because you've got pride, which the source of all contention is pride, speaking falsely of your neighbor, that's a slander. But he said, I hate the tongue that goes around sowing discord among the brethren. Amen. So a wise man, what's he do? Number one, slow to speak. So as you grow in wisdom, the more you grow, the wiser you become, the more discreet you are with your tongue, and the more you save your vocal cords for your old age. Young people, do yourself a favor. Save your vocal cords. And then when you're about 50 and you haven't said anything, you've been listening, you've been paying attention, you've been reading, you've been watching wise people, then when you're about 50, 55, it's time to open your mouth and spew out some of that wisdom. Amen? I didn't get any. This is a young church. I didn't get any amens on that. Amen. Number two, a wise man strengthens others both emotionally and spiritually with his words. So number one, what's a wise man do? Slow to speak, refrains his lips. Number two, what's a wise man do? Uses his words to strengthen. Now, let me ask you this. What you say, does that help or hurt? Does that build or destroy? Does that fortify, edify, and exhort, or does that cut down? Is that helping uplift and encourage, or discourage and destroy? Now, here's what you should say. You should have a simple rule in life that says, I will not use my mouth, my words, my tongue in a destructive manner. This is very unwise. How many are ready to read another 25 or 30 scriptures? Good, praise the Lord for that. Proverbs 12, 18. Proverbs 12, 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is what? Do you have a healthy tongue? Are you wounding? Are you putting people in the hospital? you building up, helping, exhorting, encouraging. And let me just say this, folks. There are a million opportunities to build, encourage, strengthen, and exhort. You know, one of the wonderful things you do with your cell phone in texting, send out words of encouragement. You know what you ought to do? Some missionary comes through here. And listen, there are young missionaries out there. They're just getting started. They don't have experience in preaching. And they come through. And I remember my early days. Folks, the best thing you can do is rear back, enjoy the service, say amen, shout hallelujah. Don't critique a style. Don't critique a message. Encourage that brother. And when he gets done and steps off the platform, you ought to be the first one to shake his hand and say, praise the Lord. That blessed my soul. Encourage. Encourage these young people. We have a lot of young people with a lot of potential. I am proud of these kids. I am looking forward to what God is going to do with them. What if we spent 95% of our time encouraging and uplifting everyone from Randy, the oldest, to the youngest? Encourage Ashton. Kids hear enough negative things during the day. Don't touch that. Don't do that. What are you doing? What are you thinking? Do you have a brain? Put your brain in gear. Pay attention. Sit up. Eat your food. Stop eating that. Yeah. You know, at some point, their brain is just saying, good night. Can I do anything? Can I make it 5 minutes without this kind of rebuke, reproof, or correction? So you know what you can do? As soon as you walk in the church house, you can say, before I sit down, I'm going to encourage 15 or 20 people. Wouldn't that make the house of God a lovely place to be? If you just said, I'm going to be a wise person with a wise tongue, so everything I say is going to strengthen, help, exhort, and encourage people, both on a spiritual and an emotional level. Now, some of you that don't have that gift, just stick with the first one. Just refrain from speaking. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as in a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones. I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to stay encouraged. I'm supposed to be strong. I'm supposed to be spiritual under any condition. I'm supposed to be the rock of Gibraltar. I'm thankful for those times where God sends one of his children to be a blessing and an encouragement. Now, what if you just had in your heart to be a blessing? Instead of getting a thrill out of hurting someone, slandering someone, slamming someone, negatively affecting someone, and then feeling proud of yourself. Because I had the opportunity, and not only did I do it, I can do it and make myself feel spiritual. And listen, if you believe someone is spiritual in that condition, you have lost your mind. That's what you call satanic. Yes, sir. Ephesians 4. Keep your finger there in Proverbs because we will be coming back. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Here's a good rule to live by. And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now look what it says as soon as the scripture says, edify and minister grace. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit of God? By doing the opposite. So what are we supposed to do as Christians? We're supposed to be edifying and ministering grace. Let me ask you this. If we did a poll and we put your picture up here on the big screen and we just said everyone can vote now, is this a minister of grace or a minister of negativity? Not what you think you are, but the reputation you've established by your good words, your exhortation, or your negative spirit that's revealed in your conversation. Jude 20, what comes out of your mouth should be blessing, not cursing, should be encouraging, not discouraging. Here's the issue. You find yourself making that determination, but you just don't find the words, can't find the words to do it, because in your heart there's bitterness, anger, sin that hasn't been dealt with, frustration. Folks, the worst spot you can find yourself in life is in that pool, that cesspool of bitterness, that deep pit. Usually you can't even identify it. those that listen to you can. But when you are bitter, everything that's coming out of your mouth is going to be bitter. There's no way any of that can strengthen anybody. Go to Titus. So a wise man is slow to speak. A wise man strengthens others with his words. Number three, a wise man stands firmly for truth and right. I want you to see something with me. Titus 1:13 and then Jude 3. Titus 1:13. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Now turn to Jude 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend. Now, wait a minute. Contend? I'm supposed to be contentious? There's one command to contend. How am I supposed to be contending? What is that for? For the faith which was once delivered you. Now, here's what a wise person does. You know, too often we speak at the wrong time. We have endless words when we should say nothing, and when we should say something, when we should stand up, when we should proclaim our faith, when we should be firm, when we should proclaim the truth, we're silent. Why are we embarrassed about the truth? You know, there are times when you're going to have to tell someone, you know what, that is not good, that's not positive, that's not right. I don't want to participate in this. You know what? You're wrong about that. You're wrong to speak that way. You're wrong to attack that person. You're wrong to laugh at that kind of joke. You're wrong to tell that kind of joke. You're a Christian. You know what we do? We quietly sit back, the spirit is grieved, and we say nothing. You know what? Someone that is wise, they know when to speak and when it's enough. And there's a wise and tactful way to say things. Sometimes you're simply left with no other choice but to rebuke sharply when an evil word or wrong doctrine or a mistruth is being presented. I've had to tell my kids before. My kids have been in some of the wrong place at the wrong time, and someone said something. Someone that they looked at as a Christian or a good Christian, and they said something that was defiling or hurtful. And I've had to get my kids together and say, you know what that person said was wrong. That's what you have to do as a parent. In wisdom, stand up for truth and right. And we as Christians, listen, we have been silenced. We've submitted to the worldliness around us. That's wisdom. Proverbs 31, verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. And what's the result of speaking with wisdom? In her tongue is what? So a wise person speaks with the written law of kindness. Amen? That's a wise person. How many know someone like that? Wouldn't it be an amazing blessing for the local church if everyone said, in my mouth, I want to establish the law of kindness? That's Christianity. Christianity is so absent from today's Christianity. Christ-likeness, where we say, you know what? I want God, I want truth, I want Christ to be revealed in my mouth. Here's the issue. You've got to deal with the heart in order to deal with the mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So don't deal with your tongue. Deal with the root issue, which is your heart. Get full of God. Get full of the Holy Spirit. Get full of Scripture. And that's why you don't ever want to be fooled into thinking that someone is spiritual when they're using their mouth as a tool of Satan, because out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth is speaking. That's a heart problem. Now, here's a Bible solution. Proverbs 14. What do we do with our tongues? Fix the heart. Confess, make things right, clear up any bitterness, frustration with people. Say, Lord, you know what? I want to have a clean, pure, right heart so I can have a clean, pure, right mouth. I don't want to be a talebearer. I don't want to be a slanderer. I don't want to be a busybody. And then say, okay, I will not participate in that kind of behavior. I'll get away from that kind of person. Look what it says in Proverbs 14:7. go from the presence of a foolish man. So what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to resist him? Am I supposed to beat him over the head, straighten him out? Proverbs actually gives us some pretty good advice. Just go from the presence of a foolish man. When thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. Now what ought to come out of the mouth of every Christian? Wholesome words. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ into the doctrines which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof come envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing the gain is godliness. Now look what the command is. From such, what are we supposed to do? Withdraw thyself. Now let me ask you this tonight. Can you be honest enough with yourself to say, how is my tongue?
We certainly hope that you've enjoyed this message today, but more importantly, we hope that the Lord has challenged you in some way to grow in your Christian life. For more information about our church, including directions and times of services, please visit our website at www.capitalcitybaptist.org.